Wonderful job. Amen. For those who do not know, of course, this is Brother Daniel's mother, and she flew in for this wonderful occasion, and I'm so glad we're able to videotape this, and they will be able to share this with the years ahead together with the family. I'd like to just bring a short message today, and particularly a charge to Brother Daniel. As I said, this is kind of a threefer all kind of crammed in together, but it is proper, as pastor of the church, the under-shepherd of the Lord, that I give him a charge, and that I will do, that I will do. Stonewall Jackson, likely the most, or if the second most prominent general in all of the Confederate army during the Civil War, once famously said, quote, "I am more afraid of alcohol than of all the bullets of the enemy." Well, I too have my reflective moments, especially pertaining to the gospel ministry and the dangers. The dangers. And there are certainly many dangers to the gospel ministry. As Paul the Apostle said, and is found in the Holy Writ, and this will be our text, a short text for tonight, 1 Corinthians 16:9, when he says, "A great door and effectual is open unto me, and there are many adversaries." Though we are admonished by God's word to count all trials a joy, as James wrote, it is due to the many benefits of the trials themselves in our lives and what they actually bring. And James speaks about those benefits. And he said, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, the trials of life, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience, but let patience have her perfect work," that maturing work in our life, "that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing." Now, some trials and testings, they come from within. Other trials come from without, just as the Apostle Peter said and so eloquently wrote, of course, in the inspired Word of God in 1 and 2 Peter. He deals with those very issues. But we need to be very well aware of the fact that there are many great dangers out there. And those dangers are more dangerous to us than the bullets of the enemy, physical bullets. The apostle uttered and gave these words about many adversaries to the church at Corinth, and that's interesting because that church at Corinth had so many problems, and they had a lot of problems. And problems have a way of simply and easily overtaking and destroying the weak. The weak are nothing. They just like chaff. They just blow away the first little trouble that comes along. But even the strong and the well-disciplined, if we're not careful and we're not wise, will be destroyed. Not if, but we would be destroyed if we're not careful and wise. Paul writes in chapter 10 of 1 Corinthians, "Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. There is no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able. But God will with the temptation also make a way of escape, that ye may be able to bear it." You know this well. You've been around the gospel ministry now, your family and your own life for a while. Many strong men have been taken down. Strong men. And only a fool thinks he can never be counted in that defeated number, simply because I'm strong right now. But Paul again said, "For a great door and effectual is open unto me, and there are many adversaries." Now, a door is a gateway. A door is a pathway. A door is an opening from what we are experiencing now to something we haven't yet experienced. It could be a good door, which is what the apostle is talking about here, a great door is effectual open unto him. But it could also be a very bad door. Very bad door. And all doors, remember speaking to Brother Giordano about this years ago, all doors have rooms behind them, and those rooms have doors. And we'll have to be careful not only what door we go through, but what doors are accessible in that new room, which may be a danger to us. We have to have great discernment. We have to have wisdom. And especially those who intend to build something good. And we intend to build something good for our Lord, certainly in His grace. But if we're going to do so, we better take heed, take good heed in all that we do. And we better learn how to keep our body in subjection. For many, people start a race, but so many never finish that race. Many start a race and they run very poorly. They just run very poorly. I know that's not your desire. You know that's not my desire. I may not be the best man, but I want to give my best. Many start a race and get sidetracked. Many start a race and, like Demas, forsake the Lord, loving this present evil world. They fall out of love with the Lord and they fall in love with materialism, this world power. How much it must have hurt Paul to say this in his last letter of Demas when he said, "For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world." I will tell you, betrayal is hard to get down. It's hard. There's a race before you, as there's a race before us all, and this race is one of rules, has rules. Paul wrote, "Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainty. So fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body, and I bring it into subjection," that vehicle. "Bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway." That's what I fear the most. I don't want to be like Paul feared. I don't want to be a castaway. Paul speaks about this great door. This door is a great door, and all doors open to the gospel ministry are great doors. And they're important doors. Because they're such great doors, it takes a lot of courage to go through that door. As a matter of fact, as the time grows near to the Lord and we see the falling away, and I think all discerning Christians would see the falling away that's taken place, I would maintain it takes more courage today to go through that door than it did even 50 years ago. More courage yet today to go through that door. No wonder the Lord saw fit to charge Joshua in Joshua 1. I'll skip down to just verse 7 of that passage. Oh, I can't do that. I've got to get at least to verse 6. "Be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous." You've got to be strong. You've got to be courageous. "That thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand, to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest." Now, the source of that victory, the source of that success, what is required to be able to achieve that which is promised by God for His courageous soul, is also found in that same passage in verse 8. "For this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein in night, day and night, and thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then, it's a big then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." The Word of God's key, as you know. This door Paul speaks of is effectual. It's powerful. It gets great things accomplished. It is active in its faith. And if it were not active in its faith, it'd be worthless. But it is active in its faith. It is also operative. You have had good order in your life that was taught well by your mother and father and others. You've had good discipline in your life. And the blessings of God to build a successful business. And that will serve well, but it has its limitations. And I do pray that God will bless you further in your business because what you're doing today. I do. Yet you need to know. You must know. You better know that the business of God is not the same as a secular business. Pastor Giordano, of course, is here with us, and he knows full well the great many differences between running a secular business and being the under-shepherd of the house of God or working in a church with a whole volunteer group of people. Running a ministry is not the same as running a secular business. Many people have thought it was the same, and they apply the same things, and they utterly fail in their endeavors. I don't want you to fail. It's my intention to help you to see that you do not fail. But many fail ignoring those differences, and they plow on anyway, just thinking, just somehow, I'm just going to do what I've been taught in business school or whatever the case I've read, ignoring God's word, and God's going to bless anyway. I'd like to just remind you and remind all that ours is a spiritual enterprise. It's a spiritual enterprise. And we use spiritual tools in the power of our Lord in that spiritual enterprise. Not long ago, you were actually introduced to an excavator. And you had time to see it operated for a little bit anyway, watching me, and then sit in the operator seat and have it a go. Have a go at it. And it doesn't take time to a long period of time to realize there are people who can sit in the seat of a tractor, and then there are people who can actually operate the thing. And if you can operate the thing, you can get a lot of great work done in that machine. Certainly you're a quick learner and you're eager, and that's always a wonderful start to anything in life that you have, and your children manifest that as well, and your wife. Yet I want you to know there's still much to learn. There's much to learn. You have watched much in your family, and you mentioned this earlier. You have watched much in your family, your mom and dad, your family. There's no doubt. But you also know, you've heard me address this before, others say, oh, I know everything about ministry. I was raised in a preacher's. No, you know what it's like to be a kid in a minister's home. That's not the same. It's just not the same. It's better, but it's still not the same. You're moving into a different lane now. The pressures will grow, and you will feel that pressure. It's one of the things that buries a lot of preachers and those in the gospel ministries, the pressure, the spiritual burden of the whole thing, the burden. I would encourage you with the words of our Lord to put your hand to the plow and plow on and never look back. Our Lord said, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. I'm reminded of the mighty man of men of David, King David, Eleazar, fighting with the Philistines. And when he drew his sword, the Bible said he rose and smote the Philistines until his hand was weary and his hand clave to the sword. Even when it's time to let go, he just couldn't let go. He was desperately holding that sword. I would go so far to repeat the word of the general that I mentioned prior in my opening when war was approaching. This is what he said. Quote, the time for war has not yet come, but it will come, and that soon. And when it does come, my advice is to draw the sword and throw away the scabbard. You're not going to need it. But you will need the sword. Be careful to maintain good works, having done all to stand, but only be thou courageous. Listening is key, but here's some you don't need to listen to. Don't listen to the critics. Don't listen to the carnal. Don't listen to the corrupt. Don't listen to the complacent. Don't listen to the complainers. Don't listen to the confused. Don't listen to the convoluted. Don't listen to the contrivers, those who are always looking for something new that God's people ought to be doing. Don't listen to the crushers, those who have and never have built anything that would seek to crush what you and I, this church, intend to build. Don't listen to them. Don't listen to the calloused. Don't even listen to the cons who find a parade and get out in front of that parade and pretend they've led that parade for the last 15 years. Don't listen to them either. But there is one that you must listen to. You must listen to the Lord and you must listen to His Word. Paul said, again in closing, "For a great door and effectual is open unto me, and there are many adversaries." Brother Daniel, there may have been time for you in the past to rest in the ways of many, many men. But for us, that's over. That's over. The rest will come in the future. Then it will come. For us, as Jackson even said on his deathbed, "Let us cross over the river and rest under the shade of the trees." Until that time, quit ye like a man and fight the good fight of faith, for the battle is upon us. Let's stand for prayer.